5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
All right, today we're going to talk about how we can find out and how much we can find out and what it takes to get there. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my round line. That there is going to tell me how much I have to round to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you around, the more you're going to find out. And also, if you stay down here and you never around, you'll never find out. So I hope this lesson is helpful. Thank you.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Well, welcome back. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program, officially on the clock again. All right, can we all just admit that George Floyd was not murdered by a police officer? If you paid attention to the autopsy, if you've paid attention to the experts, it's not what happened. But they needed to whip something up with that. And whip it up they did, and they started that whole summer of love. George Floyd's death made him a martyr, not a good man, made him a martyr. Made police the demons. And that drum has been beaten 4 years now. Cops are bad. Cops are out gunning for certain kinds of people. Cops can't be trusted. Let's take the money from the cops because that makes sense. And then lo and behold, it's so weird. Like we couldn't see cause and effect. You take $1 billion away from the NYPD. What do you guys think is going to happen to the streets of New York? And then you tie that in with the invasion of 10 million plus people just since Joe Biden took office. And what do you have? Well, of course, you have a recipe for disaster. And I've been very clear here in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when the police chief, who must be just a wizard of genius, decided to broadcast to the entirety of the city, hey, look, we're having some staffing shortages, right? We've got all these dudes who've retired because it sucks to be a cop. We've got young people who don't want to become police because it sucks to be a cop. And so we've got not enough people to patrol the streets. So between hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., yeah, you're kind of on your own. Somebody breaks in, you know, hopefully you're a member of the second, of the NRA and you believe in the Second Amendment. Other than that, your frying pan ain't going to do a whole lot for you because the cops aren't coming. And they didn't come. I want to play a story for you here. NBC affiliate here in my town played a story of a woman who got purse snatched not far from where we're broadcasting from. She called the cops. She's still waiting for them. Listen to the story. This is unreal, and this is the new America.
Sources in the department tell me this is related to the ongoing police staffing issues and confusion about the chief's new directive to respond only to in-progress calls and push all others to the telephone reporting unit. Sources say in this case, an officer should have been dispatched.
She came in the door. She said she had been robbed.
The woman showed up here at Bruner's Garage on the south side. Her purse with her wallet and cell phone had just been swiped right out of her hands.
It happened here at the intersection of Roland and South 17th Street on the south side. The woman says the man didn't say a word, came up to her, grabbed her purse, and then took off in that direction.
She chased the suspect, but he got away. Police released this surveillance picture of him. She stopped at Bruner's to call 911 and waited for police.
He was here all afternoon.
Was she waiting for the police?
They said they were going to send somebody.
And did they ever send anybody?
No, they never sent anybody.
An hour and 15 minutes after the robbery, Mike Kirsch said an officer finally called the garage looking for the victim.
They called here at 5:30 looking for her. I said she went home. She has no telephone, but I gave them her address, and they said they would get in touch with her that way.
According to the logs, the call came in at 4:14 in the afternoon, right in the middle of shift change, and there were no cars available. At 4:42, a car was dispatched, but the officer referred it to the telephone reporting unit. At 5:21, more than an hour after the robbery, the telephone reporting unit sent it back to the zone and said it's a robbery. An officer must respond and take a report. An officer was dispatched at 5:32 and arrived at the woman's home at 5:50, but no one answered the door.
It's sad that we have less police and a chief and a mayor don't want to provide more police. And what we have is a purse snatcher, a lady not being taken care of.
Rich Chupka owns a restaurant on the South Side. He's been a frequent critic of the administration and the declining number of officers. The budget calls for 850, but with retirements and resignations, it's now around 750.
When you have less police, they know that you're not coming, so they could do whatever they're going to do whatever they want.
Hello?
A police spokesperson says they've been in touch with the 911 center to make sure officers are dispatched to in-progress calls like this in a, quote, timely fashion with the appropriate level of urgency, adding that the response is being reviewed thoroughly.
I've never seen anything like this, at least in a day, during the day.
Back at the Southside repair shop, they're just thankful the woman wasn't hurt. She even sent them bagels and a nice note for helping her.
Bruner's Garage people, you're the best. Thanks for everything.
The victim went to the police station that night to report the robbery. Her purse was found a couple blocks away, along with her wallet and cell phone. All of her cash was gone. Police have yet to identify the suspect in that surveillance video.
What are we doing? Nothing well. Who's going to be there to protect you when somebody kicks in your back door? Who's going to be there? This is a product of progressive insanity. And because there weren't enough Democrats to stand up and say, look, this is just crazy. You can't take away the people, the last line of defense people have to safety. You're going to defund them. You're going to demonize them over what? Isn't it amazing how many feckless hacks are walking around out there who claim to be on your side? How about this story that was bad enough on the south side of Pittsburgh? How about Chicago, where a Chicagoan waited 4 hours for police after two dudes broke into her house? 4 hours. Breitbart.com. A Chicago homeowner called 911 when would-be robbers broke into her residence. However, she had to wait 4 hours for officers to arrive at the scene in Wicker Park. The woman, who's identified as Michelle, told NBC Chicago she recently left her door open at approximately 12:30 p.m. lunchtime to let her dog outside. How many people do this every daggone day when the incident happened? Apparently, these two dudes just muscled in. Pair of masked men had entered her home. She screamed. She told them she was calling police for help. That's when they fled the scene. She's lucky, because in my hometown, if this had happened at a different time, there would be nobody to respond and the criminals would know because the police chief told everybody about it. Great job. We're dealing with rock stars of integrity and mental acuity. Look, I'm no rocket science when it comes to criminality, but if I was going to commit a crime, I would do it when there aren't cops available. Thanks. 4 hours. After calling 911, Michelle claimed officials told her help was on the way. They advised her to wait outside. Thank goodness it's not snowing. However, she reportedly waited for a long time and called 911 repeatedly before somebody connected her with a supervisor. Look, this isn't like I want to talk to your boss because I had a bad meal. I just want to register my complaint. My risotto was a little crunchy. No, two dudes with guns were in my house. Well, I'll elevate it here shortly. I need somebody at my house yesterday. Well, they don't exist anymore, friends. She recalled a gentleman got on and said, sorry to say, we have no units to send you. Then there was this awkward pause. Yeah, that was her going, what? He also recommended I call my alderman. And she said, I said, why? Why would I call my alderman? And he said, well, that would encourage him maybe to hire more police. Oh, awesome. The dispatcher also asked me if I would consider defending myself if I had a weapon or considered getting one. What? Well, I mean, thank goodness, ladies and gentlemen, we do carry. And this is that pivotal time also when the leftists out there who have demonized everybody out there who was a responsible gun owner. And by the way, those are the, you know, those of us who don't commit crimes with our firearms, just going to say, you wish we were around you. You wish our firearms were nearby because nobody's showing up. In 2021, a Chicago 911, they've lost 1,600 police officers in Chicago since COVID. 1,600! And what's been going on with crime? Out of control. Out of control. Broad daylight, middle of the street. Nobody cares. I'll punch you in the face, sucker punch you, steal your purse. I don't care who you are. I have no respect for humanity. I have no respect for life. I have no respect for myself. If I'm going to do that to you, no wonder they want the Democratic National Convention online. Can they risk being in a city where crime has devolved into an absolute debacle? So just want you to know that is where we are in that realm. And it doesn't look like it's getting better. This is going to creep up along with inflation and finances and immigration, safety. These people are not talking about abortions. They're not talking about which candidate is a threat to democracy. They want to know which candidate has the goods to keep them and their families safe. Facts. And in that regard, shocker, Joe Biden loses. Speaking of losing, this whole Alvin Bragg hush money case, when you have a defense attorney on CNN or MSNBC, I think it's CNN, who comes out and says, Michael Cohen is toast. The case is over. No question, no doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, you're done. Got the sound for you. Cannot hear, you cannot miss, rather. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. Got this headline from Fox News right now. It's moments old. Published this morning at 7 a.m. Michael Cohen's testimony gets brutal reviews as he takes the stand again. They can't get enough of Michael Cohen, fabricator, liar, or forgetful person. Look, this is when you know everything's going off the rails. When Anderson Cooper says this on CNN, if I was a juror in this case watching that, I would think this guy's making it up as he's going along. Really, so odd. You mean some guy who's... you know, been in prison for his tax things and his lying. You would expect him to be a quality witness? What are we, stupid? Yes. You know, and this is what the black community was saying, and it's not just them, but we spoke specifically about black voters earlier in the broadcast. And they see Donald Trump as being persecuted, as being wrongfully accused. And so many people in the black community think that for far too long, the entirety of the black community has been demonized, has been vilified, has been persecuted and prosecuted, has represented an unfair number of people in prison. And people can say, well, then don't commit so many crimes. And you could argue both ways on that. But I get what they're saying. They affiliate with Donald Trump. They see him as a victim. And they, too, feel victimized by a system that clearly is not for them. And when you're looking at one of the wealthiest guys in America, have this crap happen to him the same way it happened to you? You create an indelible bond. That is what's going on. So let's talk about this whole Michael Cohen thing. They're going to try to get closing arguments, I think, tomorrow, maybe get a verdict by later this month, be figuring out the end of this case. There's no way anybody is going to believe that Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels have been credible witnesses. Not even a defense attorney that got pulled in to CNN. All right, so this is John Berman on CNN talking to this defense attorney named Randy Zellin. And John Berman wants to know, basically, look, Michael Cohen has been caught in so many obvious lies. The biggest lie was a phone call. Did you speak with Donald Trump on the phone and did you tell him that it was $130,000 to silence a porn star who alleged they had sex, get her to go away, I'm running for president, I don't want to deal with it? Did that happen? And that's all he needed to do, and he could not prove that because he got called out for all sorts of other lies regarding that allegation. How damaging is this? Defense attorney Randy Zellin. Listen to this.
For the prosecution?
No. Can I stop there or do you want me to keep going?
You can elaborate. You've earned the right to elaborate.
Michael Cohen, thank you. Michael Cohen had one job to do, and that was to put Donald Trump in the room and to have Donald Trump part of the conversation concerning the making of false entries in the books and records of the Trump Organization in order to influence the election. False entries are the misdemeanor, elevated to a felony because it's in furtherance of another crime, which is election interference, election fraud. He had one job to do, and he couldn't do it on something so simple. Tell us about a conversation. And the worst part of it is on direct, he sounded so convincing. He sounded so smooth, so good. It was such a good day for the prosecution. Describes the conversation and then completely shoots the pooch where it looks like that conversation absolutely, actually never happened. Done.
Done, he said. And John Berman's question to that legal analyst was, is Michael Cohen's performance, is it recoverable? Can the prosecution recover from it? Absolutely no, he says. And the lawyer continues because John Berman says, well, wait a minute. And what Michael Cohen got caught lying about wasn't even the most important pivotal part of this whole conversation. That's gotten lost in the weeds. Listen.
That conversation right there was actually only one of several conversations that Michael Cohen testified to. It was the shortest one, and it was the least perhaps important in telling the story about how, according to Michael Cohen, Donald Trump approved of the payments of Stormy Daniels, knew about how they were organized and whatnot. That call was on October 24th. On October 26th, Michael Cohen testified in great detail about a longer conversation he had with Trump where he talked about actually setting up the bank account. So does that no longer matter, that testimony, Randy?
Falsus in unum. I think that's the fancy Latin phrase, which for the rest of us means if you lied about one thing, I don't have to believe another thing that you say. And that is exactly what the judge will instruct the jury. If you find anything that a witness said to be untrue, to be incredible, to be a lie, feel free to disregard the entirety of that witness's testimony.
Not only should Donald Trump demand every single dollar back and punitive damages for dragging his time and flushing it down the toilet. Can we all identify, listening to John Berman, how much the mainstream media, CNN at the forefront, are the cheerleaders of this prosecution? That they'll pick up the ball where Michael Cohen dropped it and John Berman's desperate to get over the end zone, get into the end zone. Failure on all counts. Look at how far they will go to destroy a political enemy. And then ask yourself, who's the threat to democracy? So many options. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, the new spin on see something, say something, thanks to black voters. Wait, what? I'll explain coming up next. If there was any denying that there is a new liberal world order, there should not be, because we've played all of the audio sound bites of the hacks from around the planet, meeting in Davos, Switzerland, hobnobbing with other elite schmucks, professing their allegiance to this whole idea of this totalitarian one world order. Well, when there's one world order, there is a ruling elite, and then everybody else just kind of doesn't matter. And that is what we push back against every single day. Joe Biden even spoke about it, celebrated the basic ideology of this one world order where everybody does what one group says. That is so gross and so wrong and so not how we are made here in America. I don't think anywhere. And you're hearing people stand up and push back. And it is the smug, narcissistic, egocentric, insufferable suck of the communist, Marxist, progressive, socialist left that prevents them from being in the trenches to read the room, to feel what average people feel. You have to be so disinterested, so disconnected from the very people you promise every 2 or 4 years to understand and to fight for in order for you not to see the real suffering and the real concern out there. Black voters, Hispanic voters, they're keenly aware of what is going on. And they're tired of being taken for granted. And they realize that this might be the one moment in their lifetime to rise up and be part of something that reverses path and gets us back where we need to go. And of course, all of this woke stuff and all of the social stuff, cultural stuff, it's all intended to keep you and me fighting. Because if we're bickering, right, they're not paying attention to what's really going on, and then they can, in effect, steal our freedom. I stumbled upon this, though, in the Detroit Free Press, and I was like, holy mackerel, I have to read it to you guys. Because it's not just man on the street, like Newsmax presented to us with those blips of voters in the Bronx saying, I want this guy. I want Donald Trump back. Detroit Free Press, an opinion piece by the former police chief who himself is a black man. And I think it's important that you hear this. This isn't fringe. This 22% that Harry Enten on CNN is talking about and waving his arms about and saying, oh my goodness gracious, that's now. Can you imagine what it's going to be in 4 or 5 months? So DetroitFreePress.com, actually it's FreePress.com. Headline, I was Detroit's police chief. Joe Biden has failed our community. This stuff isn't commonly said, and it needs to be. This man obviously feels a sense of purpose the same way Riley Gaines felt a sense of purpose when she couldn't take it anymore that a dude pretending to be a chick was swimming in the lane next to her. And everybody else was looking around like, there's nothing wrong with that. Meanwhile, she's like, are you out of your minds? Yes, you are out of your minds, which is why Harrison Butker's comments about family values are so dang refreshing to this mom. Here's your opinion piece. Having served as the chief of the Detroit Police Department, and after seeing the issues facing our cities and neighborhoods, I can tell you firsthand that President Joe Biden's policies are devastating our community. Whether it's Bidenomics or the crisis at the border, the Biden administration has proven it will stop at nothing to continue its failed agendas, even if it means turning its back on the black community. The truth is, he writes, we're being left behind by Biden's economic policies. Bidenomics, Biden's label for his $11 trillion in new federal spending for green jobs and infrastructure, has led to lower real wages. Michigan has dropped 5 places since 2019 in terms of median household income, a Bridge Michigan analysis found. And according to 2022 U.S. Census data, we're below the national median household income average. In the black community, we're feeling that pain at the grocery store and at the gas pump. In fact, a poll from October of last year found that 80% of black voters had a negative view of Biden's economy. Hardworking American families everywhere are feeling it too. But what you may not know is that the Biden administration's inflation is hurting black households more than white households. With 53.7% of black respondents to a Dallas Federal Reserve Bank survey reporting inflation stress, compared to 43.6% of whites. Again, this is the guy who used to be the head of the Detroit Police Department. He was the chief, James Craig, and he continues. This is only the start. In 2022, 5 of the 50 most violent cities in the nation were in Michigan, with violent crime increasing higher than the national average, even as the homicide rate dropped faster than the nation. This rise in crime has disproportionately affected Black Americans. And despite the rise, Democrat politicians have been hindering efforts to keep criminals off our streets with anti-police rhetoric, repeated calls to defund the police, and efforts to slash funds from police budgets. With Joe Biden's border crisis, fentanyl has been pouring into our communities, and Black men are at a higher risk than any other demographic to die from a drug overdose, along with American Indian and Alaska Native men. In Chicago, in New York, and in Michigan, the allocation of federal funds for temporary public housing for immigrants has been this administration's clear priority over Black communities. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody sees it. Biden's reckless agenda is costing money and depleting resources that our community and our country can't afford to spare. For too long, the Democrat Party has taken advantage of the historic ties it's had with our community. A January Fox News poll found that Joe Biden's approval rating in the Black community has dropped almost 25% since 2021. And the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs found in a December poll that only 50% of Black adults approve of the job that Joe Biden is doing. Years of inaction and broken promises have led to little more than the same old, same old. Meantime, this is huge, guys. Republicans are reaching out to the Black community. Last cycle, the RNC made a multi-million dollar commitment to our strategic minority engagement efforts, including in Black American communities across the country. Overall, the Republican Party gained 6 points with Black voters this past midterm election cycle and remains committed to building on those gains ahead of the 2024 election. A Black man, former police chief from Detroit, is saying this. Republicans want to welcome everyone into the party that is prioritizing economic freedom and putting Americans first. These aren't just words. The Republican Party and Trump have the results to back it up. After Biden's 1994 crime bill was shown to have targeted Black Americans, Donald Trump secured the first significant federal criminal justice reform in years with the First Step Act, intended to make federal sentences more fair and to improve conditions in federal prisons. Trump has also been committed to prioritizing and supporting historically Black colleges and universities, including signing the Future Act, dedicating a funding mechanism for HBCUs. And it was Donald Trump who created the Opportunity Zones program, one that provides tax incentives for redevelopment in distressed communities, which led to $75 billion of new private investment and supported more than 7 million Black Americans. The choice this November is simple. A vote for Trump is a vote for our country, our state, our city, and our community. James Craig was the chief of police in Detroit from 2013 until 2021. The Republican Party is not discounting Black voters or Hispanic voters, Gen Z voters, or suburban female voters, or union voters. Did you guys see that auto workers from Mercedes-Benz down south just rejected unionizing with the UAW? Why? You don't represent our values. Donald Trump does. When you see a red wave full of Black and brown people, you know that there's something that the left is planning. If they're not running around, hair on fire, worried about the decrepit old man who's currently in his hyperbaric chamber somewhere, presumptively, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, if they're not scared to death, and it doesn't seem like they are, a rational, reasonable person can only ask one question. What do they have up their sleeve this time? All aces Because from where we're sitting, they're a little too comfortable yet. A little too confident still for what we see coming. And it is a once in a multiple generation turning and walking away from the Democratic Party. When we come back, you know, I've heard about Ford tapping the brakes on its electric vehicle obsession because it was hook, line, and sinker with all of the wacko climate alarmist nonsense, right? We know that the auto workers are saying, or the auto makers are like, people are wanting these cars. Well, how are people who drive these cars, how do they feel about these electric vehicles? It ain't looking good, folks. I got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. You know, buyer's remorse is a terrible thing. We've all had it. I've been very obvious with you guys about my buyer's remorse as a moron freshman at the University of Colorado getting conned into buying $1,000 worth of expensive cookware. What the hell was that? I don't know. I was stupid. It looked great and I felt guilty, like I needed to do it. And then you don't ever do that again. Thank God it almost cost me $1,000, right? I wonder how many people are walking around with buyer's remorse with these electric vehicles. Look, I'm going to say some of these hybrids are amazing. Our son Jack drives a hybrid Kia that is fantastic. It's 550 miles to the tank, which is terrific. Like, you can't deny that this is a valuable innovation in technology. But when you go all the way to the hilt, you go 0 to 90 and you can't expect anybody to ask you to slow down and show identification, right? You're being conned. So this whole everybody's going to be 100% electric vehicles by 2035 was pie in the sky nonsense. And anybody who was paying attention, and we were, called it out as like, you know, it's another one of their scams. Stop it. Think critically. Ease into it. Pay attention to what's going on. They put $7.5 billion into the making of all of these new stations where you can plug in. Seven of them have been made. I mean, let's be honest. It's a giant money laundering operation. It's a profile in government suck. And it is a platform of the globalist. Oh, no, you're killing the planet. China, you're fine. Keep doing whatever you're doing, right? That's cool. Slave labor, you know, raping the earth of minerals and all the coal-powered plants, great. Here in America, change everything. So this headline from Breitbart, gotta love it. Pricey electric cars driven 20% less than gas-powered vehicles. Well, why would that be? It's common sense. Anybody who thought about this critically before, they were like, you know what? I totally got to go out and get that beautiful $100,000, Corvette or BMW that's all electric, because that makes sense. Except when it snows. Except when the weather's terrible and cold and it doesn't get a full charge. Except when you've got to drive farther than, 100 miles. You're nervous on pins and needles. Am I going to make it? Am I going to have to charge? Where's the next stay? Who needs that? Life is complicated enough. Here's your story. Drivers apparently choosing to drive gas-powered vehicles over electric ones. Crazy how that works. Amid Joe Biden's push for Americans to go green on the road, a recent report from iccars.com said drivers are using electric vehicles 20% less than those powered by gas, the outlet reported Friday. This is breaking news. Why ever do you think that would be, friends? Oh, let me put on my rocket scientist hat. I don't know, because gas cars are easier to service. They're less expensive. They got more people who know how to do the mechanics of it, right? It's more convenient to drive because you're not beholden to plugging in somewhere. You guys ever drive by one of those giant complexes? In my section of the city, it's Sheetz gas station. When are you going to go in and get any food you want made to order? It's brilliant. They've got oodles of charging stations. Drive by, there's like one lonely Tesla person who's sitting there bored out of their gourd, pretending they're not, scrolling through their social media. Who wants to spend 2 hours at a Sheetz on a Sunday morning? Nobody. The news comes as Biden wants a national network of 500,000 publicly available EV chargers by 2030. It's stupid. It's not gonna happen. A friend of mine had the aforementioned expensive sports car convertible, two-seater BMW, all electric, off the charts, gorgeous, sticker price out the wazoo, paid the electrician, come out, put in the little charging jobby at my garage. Fantastic. Just went out and bought a truck. And I was like, wait a minute, I thought you just bought that beautiful electric BMW. And he said, yeah, I can't depend on it. I was like, wait, what? He says, first of all, it's terrible in the snow. It's completely inconsistent when the weather gets bad, right? And if I have to go here to here to here to my various offices, I'm worried I'm not going to make it. And as a physician, if there's an emergency, I can't rely on my electric car. I need a gas-powered backup. It's almost like we couldn't have seen this coming, huh? Now, it took everything I had to be like, well, why don't you get rid of the BMW then? That's a big pill to swallow. That's a big oops. See, I got swindled on a grand and stupid cookware, right? And one could argue maybe not even so much swindled. I was stupid. Independently can confirm that. I had to pay my dad off. It took me a while as a college kid. But an $80,000 to $100,000 ride without infrastructure, in bad weather, knowing that there's not the mechanics who know how to handle the repairs are outrageous, and God forbid you need a new battery, you better start selling your ovaries, right? It's almost as though we all could have predicted the cycle of suck. I guess everybody gets on the trajectory at a different path, yes? Thank God you're here with us. Great to be with you, kicking off another week. Come on back tomorrow. We'll be here in 21 hours with bells on. Until then, thanks, everybody. Peace.